Hello and welcome to This Week in Oklahoma Politics on KOSU. I'm Michael Cross, along with ACLU Oklahoma Executive Director Ryan Kiesel and Republican political consultant Neva Hill. The state Supreme Court gives its stamp of approval for the bill to cut Oklahoma's income taxes from 5.25% to 5% in 2016 and then eventually 4.85% after 2018. Conservatives were raising concerns if the bill was overturned, we could see tax increases on everything from everyone from military to the elderly. Ryan, were you surprised by this ruling?
Well, you know, the Supreme Court said that the purpose of the constitutional amendment in State Question 640 was to provide tax relief, and that lowering taxes seems to accomplish that. But, you know, I think if you look at the plain meaning of all of this, this tax relief really isn't the case, and it's not case closed, especially with recent experience in tax cuts, because we know that the state cuts taxes for the wealthiest Oklahomans and their corporations, but the need for that revenue doesn't disappear. And because politicians don't have the guts to admit that there are trade-offs, what we see in the wake of that is actually tax increases, but we call it other things like fines or increases in fees, and then we see municipal taxes increasing as well. So for the vast majority of Oklahomans, the plain meaning that the Supreme Court found in this means tax cuts for the richest Oklahomans, but that doesn't mean that it plays out in most Oklahomans' pocketbooks.
Neva, this was a rare loss for Jerry Fenton in these cases.
But it was a unanimous decision by the court, and I think the court did get it right. I would say that that they said that the supermajority requirements of 640 do not apply to reducing income tax rates, and basically what we see is really a victory for the taxpayers. I mean, we talk about, you know, is this better for the rich or, you know, tough on the poor? It's an issue of just reducing the rate, and by doing that, it really it's a win-win for the people of Oklahoma because it's more in their pocket. It affords them an opportunity to make decisions for themselves as opposed to just the government taking more and more out of their paycheck.
But see, I think it's that problem of a win-win scenario where we have this idea that we can have our cake and eat it too, that's got us in a really bad situation as a state as far as our revenue picture goes. You know, we can't continue to cut taxes and continue to say that there's no real trade-off there. There are trade-offs in infrastructure, education, public safety that are made every day out at the state capitol. And, you know, if Oklahomans are going to be sold these tax cuts, they really need to have the clear picture that there are actual trade-offs. And instead, what we've got is, you know, we try to mask and mitigate the effects of that loss in revenue with increases in fees.
But what we've seen at the national level, I mean, when we had major tax reductions, what we saw was that the economy flourished. And I think the idea is not that there's not enough dollars in the Treasury to do what needs to be done. It's that the lawmakers and those that are responsible for making the decisions have to make the tough calls. And that's where it gets, it's not just we need more, it's let's allocate where we think the priorities are and then put the money there. So I think those are two different issues that we're really talking about.
And at the end of this, we're going to talk about budgets as well. So we'll get to that in just a moment. I do want to get on to a blown referee call last Friday during a playoff game led to Locust Grove beating Douglas by just 1 point. This wouldn't be of interest to us, except now the outcome of the game is bringing in state lawmakers, the NAACP, and even cries of racism. Neva, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's obviously unfortunate that this circumstance has presented itself, but, you know, we've got kind of a lot of different issues at hand. First of all, we know that there have been a lot of blown calls. There have been a lot of bad refereeing in football games. And, you know, at the end of all of that, it's really the kids that are the ones, the kids on the field that have suffered the biggest loss on either side of what the final number is. And what it really shows to me is a lack of leadership. I mean, that we don't really see in these instances people say, yes, a mistake was made, but we just move on. Instead of looking at, okay, what were the real problems and let's begin to address them. And I think that's what's getting lost in this, just going to court, filing injunctions, continuing to, you know, to posture to whether you're a lawmaker and it's in your district and you have to be out front saying the things that you need to advocate for your constituency. That's all well and good and understood. But what we really need is, you know, these folks to step up to the plate and be adults and quit just you know, kind of kicking the can down the road every time one of these bad situations occurs.
Ryan.
You know, whether racism is at the root of this particular decision or not, Oklahomans are learning a tough lesson that fairness and justice don't always win the day. African Americans are 3 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than whites in Oklahoma. They're wildly overrepresented in the prison population, wildly underrepresented in the political system. And again, whether this was motivated by race or not, the students and in fact, all Oklahomans should use this as a wake-up call that the systems we rely on to reach easy and obvious conclusions don't always do so. It just so happens that this lesson is taught in the language that a lot of Oklahomans are fluent in, and that's football. But as unique as this situation is, and I think that this is a very unique situation, the persistent presence of racism is all too common and much more consequential in everyday life.
But how much are we concerned about the fact that this also looks like a bunch of Oklahoma City lawmakers in Oklahoma City, the urban mm-hmm. area, picking on little 1,500-person town of Locust Grove? That, you know, I mean,
it's not about the size of the size of the football. You know, it's not about the size of the community where the team is from. It's really not any of those things. I mean, it's about two teams that went on the field. They had a bad call that everyone admits to, that the mistake was made. The rules, they say, now don't afford them any way to change that. That the game stands and the team that's supposed to move forward in the playoff is clearly tainted by all of this, any way you cut it. And then you have a team that clearly feels like that they have not gotten a fair deal. But bottom line is, this is going to be it's going to be a story that is here today and gone tomorrow. The bigger picture is, fix it so this doesn't happen again next year.
Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen officially wins re-election after the state Democratic Party decided it would be too expensive to enter into a lawsuit for a special election after its candidate died 2 days before the general election. Ryan, should the party have tried harder for this?
You know, I think it was an uphill battle to begin with. You know, I often say that foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. So I'm gonna change my mind a little bit. All right, you know, I had initially said about this that the law was very difficult for the Democrats to challenge. But if you look at states like Louisiana and Georgia, they have runoff general elections that occur after the election date, contrary to what the state of Oklahoma decided was the federal law that applied here. But again, you know, even leaving all of that aside, I think that they had an easier legal case to make, but it was still an uphill battle. A lot of resources would have gone into it, and the election results were all but a foregone conclusion. So I don't think that the Democratic Party missed an opportunity here by not pushing this to an election.
Neva, your thoughts?
And I think that's right. I think the Democratic Party had to do what they did, and that was to raise the issue, you know, fight the fight on the front end and make their case. But really knowing that we can agree to disagree on, you know, what the interpretation of the law is, but the fact of the matter of resources, I think, is a genuine concern, and I applaud them for taking that into consideration. When you look at $250,000 to $350,000 for a special election, plus you have those counties, 22 or 24 counties in the 2nd District that have additional county costs to it. I mean, that's a lot of money for something that I agree, Ryan, probably would be still a foregone conclusion that the Republicans would still prevail.
You know, let's just hope that the Attorney General, you know, his little pocket constitution, I'm assuming he's got one, all of us lawyers have our little pocket constitutions, you know, that he's highlighted the supremacy clause there, that he doesn't lose that copy with the highlighted supremacy clause, because I think our governor and our legislature are going to give him opportunities to revisit that in the not-too-distant future.
Now, talking about the budget again, the 2015 legislative session is still 2 months away, but already state leaders are talking budget. Some lawmakers want an investigation of tax credits and incentives. The governor herself is calling for work to be done on money which comes off the top, so lawmakers can't allocate it. Neva, this off-the-top money includes pet projects like roads and bridges and the Oklahoma Higher Learning Access Program. Will this be hard to change?
Well, I think when you're looking at a $7 billion budget and already talking about the prospects of at least a flat budget year, I mean, with the changes in the lower gas prices, which are problematic when we start talking about budget numbers for the state, I think the governor and the legislature are going to be faced with really coming up with some real budget priorities. And, you know, let's face it, I mean, after an election, you've campaigned on certain things, whether it's an across-the-board teacher increase, whether it's whatever it happens to be, those things are all good, and a lot of them have a lot of public backing to them, but they also have a big price tag. So I think that's where the rubber's going to meet the road on all of this.
You were talking about tax cuts earlier, yeah. Ryan. What we've, another flat budget year.
Well, and that's just it, is that we've been told that these tax cuts will pay for themselves, but year and again we see budget shortfalls and flat budgets. State agencies have still never recovered from their funding cuts that they took over 5 years ago. I think that what we have now is we have a manufactured crisis. We manufactured it with irresponsible tax cuts for people and corporations that don't need them. Then we've used gimmicks like transferring money out of funds that we're not lawfully allowed to transfer money out of to try to patch over and mitigate the damage caused by this irresponsible tax cut system. And now we step back and we say, let's blame the system and review it. That seems to be this playbook, but it doesn't really get us anywhere. I agree we need budget reforms. First and foremost, we need to reform the way we forecast the amount of revenue legislators are going to have each year to better take into account things like falling oil prices and falling gas prices, and the revenue we'll get in there. But I think at the end of the day, we have to really talk to the people of Oklahoma about the trade-offs that they're making for lower taxes versus flat budgets and cutting state services.
Well, I do think one thing to point out, though, on this, on making the revenue forecast, I think the state has been very deliberate, particularly looking at the oil and gas situation. I mean, the current budget was based on an average oil price of about $87 a barrel. And really, when you look at that with the fluctuation, $69 a barrel now, the high was back in the summer over $100 a barrel. So I think they factored in all of those things from an economic perspective. And there's always going to be the give and take. You cannot have a perfect storm, for budget forecasting. But I think the bigger picture is there are enough dollars there. They just have to make the tough calls on where they spend those dollars.
And Ryan Nevin's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the ACLU, KOSU, its staff, or management.